Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Brother Moyo, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
How are you, my elder?
I'm all right. Doing okay. How are you doing?
No, can't complain, man. God has been good. It's a happy Monday. Happy that we're here and cannot complain at all. I do hope that you've spent the day well so far.
So far, the day has been good. You know, one thing that I really enjoy is that when I talk to you on a Monday, yep. I usually realize that you always have a really good Monday.
Yeah, it's got to be a good Monday, man. I don't want to have a blue Monday.
No, that's the attitude we have to come with, because it can really feel like another way. But then we thank God that we actually do have another day and that we do have opportunities to get to know him even better.
Oh, yes. Fantabulous. Remember, it is the wise man Solomon who said, we've got to do everything to the best of our ability here, because in the grave where all of us are going, there's no trying there.
There is no trying. There's no more trying when we get to the grave.
So no effort at all.
We might as well spend our days living and we should spend the days living the right way.
And be happy on those days.
And be happy. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Now, we're talking about the power to obey, which is our VOP lesson. And we know that the Bible and the commandments are an unchangeable, perfect guide to happy living, as we've learned over the past couple of lessons. So why do we find it so difficult to obey? That's what we're going to be discussing today. So, my elder, since we are Christians and we know that God's commandments are for our good, shouldn't it be easy for us then to just obey the commandments?
You know, that's the interesting thing. And I like the way you asked it, to say, okay, if they are for our good, then why shouldn't it just be easy? Now, there's an interesting thing. I feel like we have a certain assumption that everything that is good for us is easy for us. But when you look at the facts of life, that's not necessarily true. Also, the Bible actually lets us know exactly why it is. As humans, even though the commandments are for our good and even for happy living, the Bible lets us know inside of Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 that actually says, you know, the carnal or the sinful mind is at enmity with God. For it is not subject to the laws of God, or even subject to living a spiritual life either. That's not our first instinct to do, if I can put it that way. Mm-mm. That's the other way we could put it. That actually, instead, we are at, it's almost as if we as humans are averse. Can I say averse? Or we are inclined to go against the commands of God. Now, It's a strange thing, though, because you would think that then it should have been easy. But, you know, Paul in the Bible actually said it one way. He said, you know, I find two things inside of my body, where one side of me knows that I'm supposed to do the good thing, but the good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the bad that I want to do, I end up doing that. So, and he ends up actually saying, woe is me, who can save me from this body of death? But then there is hope, because we understand and know that through Jesus, our Savior, we are saved from sin. Because remember, the Bible actually lets us know that if it was not for the law or for the commandments, we would not know what sin actually is.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true, actually. Yeah. Now, you wanted to say something?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I wanted to actually, you know, just agree with what you're saying, that that we know that it's for good does not necessarily mean it's just going to be easy. I'm thinking about gym, for instance. I mean, we're supposed to be going to gym. We know it's good. I'm the culprit. I don't go there. I know it's good. I should be doing it. I'm not doing it. So, yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm laughing at it, because, you know, it's almost as if we discussed this beforehand, because I actually was thinking about the gym itself, because I remember seeing something at a gym that I was at actually that said something along these lines. It said, if it does not challenge you, it does not change you.
Oh, yeah.
So it is very true. Many of the things that we know are good for us, just because it's good for us doesn't necessarily mean that it will be easy. And maybe if we were to put it in this kind of reasoning as well, if something is easy for us, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is good. True. So when something is hard for us as well, maybe it's not an indication that that's bad for us. It just means that it's going to be hard to do.
But
you might find out that it's actually good for you, the same way that going to the gym or even studying, let's be honest.
Yeah, true. It's not
that's
easy.
Not something that we like doing.
Yeah.
But it does us so much good to do.
True. Now, if then we are naturally born with a sinful nature, I mean, the Bible is littered with scriptures that tell us in no uncertain terms that we are born into the sinful world and therefore our nature is sinful. Why are we then expected to be able, to keep the commandments? Is that not rather unreasonable?
I like the way that you've asked that question. Actually, that's what most of us struggle with in the first place.
Mm.
It's not necessarily that the commandment. We know that the commandments are good.
Mm.
That's how come we even. I like the way that one woman put it when she said that, I want to do them, but then I find it so hard to do. And so because we find it so hard to do, then we start saying, then maybe I should just throw it out. But then that does not solve the problem necessarily. So we should remember that the reason why we have this problem in the first place, let's not underestimate what sin has done to this world. That at a certain, at when we were, when this world was perfect, it was not a thing to say, that to obey the commandments of God was something that we enjoyed to do. Without sin in this world, there would be that real enjoyment of doing the will of God. But why are we expected to keep it if it's so hard to do? Then we come into where what the Bible says. Are we expected to keep it? Yes. But are we expected to keep it alone? No. If we were expected to keep it by ourselves, to say that, no, I will do it all on my own, then yes, that would be unfair to ask of us. Because like you said, sin has come into the world and we have a sinful nature, as in we have this bend in us towards sin. And if we were expected to do it all by ourselves, yes, I would definitely say then that is unfair and unjust. But that is not what is asked of us. And never is it that God says, go ahead and do it by yourselves. No, he always actually does come up by our side. And actually says, yes, this is my law. But he also says that, maybe if I can put it this way, the Ten Commandments, I like the way that it was once said that, most of the time we look at the commandments as commands to say, this is what is expected of you. But if you look at the commandments, the way that they start, not starting from thou shalt have no other gods before me, but where God first of all points out and says, I am the one who has delivered you out of Egypt. I am the one who has taken you away from these other places. And therefore, you will have not. He first of all starts off by saying, listen, this is a promise to you. If you follow me and if you love me, as a result of that love to me, you will have no other gods before me. And so he doesn't say that these commandments you will keep by yourself. He knows that we are born in iniquity, that we have this bend towards sin. And so he provides a way for us to be able to keep us from falling. I love this. There's a verse actually in this small book just before Revelation, the book of Jude, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling. So if we think that we can do it in our own strength, yes, that's completely unfair. That is a very high expectation that should not even be an expectation. But that's not what God expects of us. He says, come up beside me. And I love the way that the Bible puts it, where Jesus actually said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. He doesn't say that you take this burden by yourself. He says, we will carry it together.
Yeah, indeed. Now, I want us to get to the wrap-up of our conversation. Now, what does it mean then that the law is the knowledge of sin, as stated in Romans 3:20?
Yes. So, if it was not for the law, we would not know what sin is. Basically, how else can I put this? I want to give a very good example, but then really at the end of the day, it's this: without the knowledge that, without knowing that we have sinned, we will not know that we have a need for a savior. Not that we would not have sinned if we had not seen the law, but then that without the law telling us that this is what you've done wrong, we would not see the need for correction. We would just continue doing the wrong thing. I like the way that Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says it. It says, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the idea of not knowing, if we would not have known what the problem is. Ah, okay, let me put it like this. If you go to the doctor and they say that, because you know that you're sick and you know that there's something wrong, but then you go to the doctor, you want a diagnosis to find out what is wrong. When you actually go there and they tell you, no, there's nothing wrong, but inside of yourself, you know that, no, I know that my body does not feel this way. If you got the wrong diagnosis, you would not get the right kind of treatment. And so that's basically what it's telling us, that without the right diagnosis, we will not see sin for what it is, and we will not see the need for a savior. Yet we are all in need of a savior. And that's the reason why we need to know what the law demands of us, or rather promises us, so that we would then come up beside God and say, listen, I need a savior. I have fallen short. I know what you have shown me what the disease is. I need you to be my doctor. I need you to be my savior. I need you to be my healer.
And then how does the law then bring Christ to us, or rather bring us to Christ?
Ah, I like the way you said it the second time.
The second one is correct. Yeah.
The second one is correct. How does the law bring us to Christ? Let me go back to the analogy of being diagnosed. Once you find out that you're sick, you go to the right doctor. You find out what the right treatment is. And so what the law does is it's basically like a mirror. A mirror shows you what defects are there on your face or wherever the defect is. But you don't use the mirror to wipe that defect away. That's what we need Christ for. So what it is that the Lord does for us is that it brings us to knowing what our problem is. And therefore, it also shows, but at the same time, it shows us who would the solution be and who would bring that solution to us. And we find that that's the Lamb of God who was slain for the sin of the world.
Yeah.
The same way that John said it when he saw Jesus by the river, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's the problem we've all had, is sin. The problem is not the commandments. The problem is sin. And so what we are being told is that Christ is the one who is the solution to sin. And so that's how the commandments bring us to Christ.
Yeah, I love that. That's how the commandments indeed bring us to Christ. And we're going to be ending it right there. I think we're going to be chatting you once again tomorrow, same time, same place. But my elder, it's been a fantastic, fantastic conversation. As always, always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. And tomorrow, I think we talk about how it is that we can keep the commandments then, because we didn't really tackle that very well. We'll talk about that very well tomorrow. So it would be a pleasure, and it's been a pleasure just now. And thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. It is now 26 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. We are actually having our guests on the roll this afternoon. Do you notice that? Yes. Oh, man, I'm enjoying it. I think that we are having a great Monday. Not a blue Monday for me. I do hope that is not a blue one for you. Well, I don't know. I hope that you're not having a Friday on a Monday. Hey, it's Monday on a Monday. And you will have a Friday on a Friday. So it's still easy. We are cruising nicely this Monday. I do hope that you are also cruising with us this afternoon.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.